Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. I hope you're doing okay. I love my patio. It's my man cave. I work back here. Unfortunately, it's a metal roof, but over the years, when I've had my radio show, I've been able to have connectivity at different places throughout the patio. And I think I just moved it slightly when it started, and I think that's all it takes. But it's on a stand right now, and I think I'm good to go. So I know that Doug will let me know if I'm starting to come in broken up. I could always go upstairs if I need to. Anyway, how are you all doing? It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. Been getting some rain recently. Over in the distance, I see some clouds and the sun behind the clouds. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that tomorrow we'll be falling back an hour. That time of the year, pretty cool, isn't it? In our revolution around the sun, the weather starts to change. The tree leaves are still pretty much green behind my backyard. I just saw a hawk fly by. He probably said, I've come to listen to your radio show. I like it so much. As you talk about extraterrestrials, and I've seen this flying saucer come down and land close to your house. No, I'm just kidding. Both my wife and I, we joke around with pretending like we're talking for animals, what they would say, because we have 3 dogs and 2 cats in our house. Plus, we've got skunks that stop by outside, and we put some food out for them to eat, and possums and raccoons and a cat, neighborhood cat. We had one cat that used to live in our garage. Now she's living upstairs with one of my granddaughters. And we're a very pet-friendly family. We take good care of them. And so far I've got sprayed by one of the skunks. Close, my grandson, he got sprayed one time. They like to eat the bird seed that falls off the bird feeder in the front yard, specifically the pieces of corn. Anyway, it is starting to get a little bit cooler. One of the trees, I think I might have mentioned last week, has begun to change. Some of the leaves have begun to change. They're looking a little bit reddish now. Before, they were kind of brownish, goldish colored, and now they're reddish. This morning, I woke up, changing the subject, and I went to one of my Toastmaster clubs, which meets at 9:30 on the first and the third Saturday of each month. And we had a good time. There was about, including the people online, we had about 12 people. And just try talking at that early in the morning around the table. It's not always easy, you know. Well, I kind of am looking forward to cooler weather. I don't know where you are in the world. Be in the northern United States, maybe some other country around the world. Internet radio, I think, is pretty interesting, in as much as it can be accessed by anybody who doesn't have a regular AM, FM radio. And I know BBS radio and TV goes out there to a lot of people around the world. And if you don't have your own radio or TV show, you should check into it if you can afford it. It's a really cool thing to have your own radio show and talk about whatever subject that you're passionate about. I've been doing it now for almost 7 years, around about 7 years. I began in 2017, part-time at first, like twice a month. Now I'm doing it once a week. Oh, by the way, welcome all you extraterrestrials out there listening to my radio show. You are so cool. You know, I love you. You're so intelligent. I mean, you're more evolved than we are. And be so neat if you could make contact with us, because that's really what we need in the next step of our evolution, to make contact with the extraterrestrials that are out there. And the universe, my friends, is teeming with life. Life is not the exception, it's the norm. It's not the exception, it's the norm. As we get smarter and more intelligent as a civilization, as our intellect increases, we realize that the creator of the universe, who made everything, is not limited to the way we think. The creator of the universe can create anything and anywhere. So it's actually a very exciting idea to think we have a creator who's out there, and we're purposefully kind of separated from him, her, because the creator is both male and female. Because this learning environment here on planet Earth is like a school in the University of the Universe, where we are evolving our souls in a very difficult environment, because we live, and I've said this before, we live in a food chain, among other things. Animals eat each other, and we eat animals. The atmosphere weighs down heavy on us, and there are lots of ways where we can die here in Mother Nature, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, things like lightning, to get eaten by a bear or a lion or a tiger or a wolf or dogs, or stung by poisonous insects, bitten by poisonous snakes. It's a difficult environment. And then you get on the freeway, and that's another way to get killed easily. A lot of people do. There's 40,000 people dying around the earth each day. And what can we learn from that, my friends? That every day is a precious gift, and we should take advantage of it to the best of our ability. It is a blessing. I need to sing a song for you, and I'll talk about it afterwards. This is called It's a Wonderful World. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. Friends shaking hands. How do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. So, my friends, one point of that song is the bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. There's a power that's in control of that, that's rotating our planet. You know, we take it for granted, don't we? No big deal, some people may say. We're moving at about 600 miles an hour on our axis, and that gives us half a day of sunlight and half a day of darkness. courtesy of the supreme creator of the universe. Now, the supreme creator did not create our solar system directly. I'm going to take a drink. The supreme creator, in the plan, original plan of the universe, which was initiated with the Big Bang, as I mentioned before on previous radio shows, in the beginning, there was darkness and silence, and nothing existed except for the spirit of the creator of the universe. And the creator, in his, her infinite wisdom, had a desire. I guess you can correlate to both. Let's just say only, instead of to say that the creator of the universe is infinitely wise is true. However, it was more than that. It was a desire to expand and grow. And we know about growth, don't we? We're born, we're babies, we're created in our mother's wombs, right? I was talking with my wife last night when we went out to get something to eat at a very nice restaurant. And I said, I'm glad I wasn't aborted, because guess what? I wouldn't be here today. Back then, when I was born in 1954, I'm not sure if they had abortions. There have been more babies aborted in the history of the world than people that have died in wars. And yet only a small percentage or abortions that would save the life of the mother or because of rape or incest. And what does that tell you, my friend? It tells us that life is not as valuable as it should be. As I was saying, when we are in our mother's wombs, we are also there in our spirit and soul. At a certain point, usually after the heart starts beating, until when the baby exits the womb. Science has not proven the existence of the eternal soul, my friend. But you know you have one. The soul is the brain of the spirit, very simply. It is piece of the light of the Creator. And going back to the Creator, that growth that we experience, our lifetime of experiences are assimilated eventually after we go through that process of reincarnation, evolving our souls, developing ourselves spiritually, until we get to co-creator God status, which means that we have purified our souls, gotten rid of any excess karma, no karmic debt, and we know how to, at that point, utilize the cosmic forces. And I was saying that the solar system was now created directly, but indirectly by our co-creator gods of our solar system who live on that world of light over there. It's a very special world. Everything revolves around it. It's the matrix of our solar system. And the power, not only the light and the heat that keeps our world alive, but also the power of the sun is what rotates all the planets on their axes and revolves them around the sun. That power, a very special power, call it gravity or whatever you will, that too was put into place when the universe began to form itself one solar system at a time. And then when there were so many solar systems in one galaxy, a new galaxy was created and so on. And that kept repeating itself down throughout the billions of years. And now the center of the universe, the great central center of the universe, is more than 15 billion light years away from here. But if you don't believe in the creator of the universe, that's up to you, my friends. You are entitled to your opinion. You have free will. But I'll say this. if you believe that everything happened by accident, all the life here on Earth, and you know there's a lot, then logically, this kind of life, or life like we couldn't even imagine, would happen, could happen by accident anywhere in the universe, on any of those other planets that you know are out there. Our scientists and astronomers are discovering more and more planets each day, and that is irrefutable logic, my friends, right? That is an irrefutable fact. With the Kepler Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope, they're discovering more and more planets and solar systems each day. In fact, I've said this before, if you look up into the evening sky and see all those suns, call them stars if you want to, but they're actually suns out there. That's right. We need to get away from fantasy. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Well, actually, you're a sun, just like that one I see over there in the distance. And that's called a G2 main sequence white dwarf star. White dwarf. G2, main sequence star. And there are red stars out there. There are neutron stars. There are all kinds of different suns of different sizes. Did you know the sun is so perfectly situated 93 million miles away? We're in that green zone where the light and heat from the sun can create photosynthesis here on planet Earth, keep all the plant and animal and human life alive. It's an amazing process. And also, consider the moon at night. It's the exact same size as the sun. Miles away. Coincidence? Possibly. I say it's probably planned that way. As I was saying, as co-creator gods and our mother and father god in that spirit world on fire over there in the distance, I'm going to take a drink. They are spirits. We are spirits. In the material world, our spirit. In the material world. There is no political solution. I'm singing this song for you because I got to say that, hey, we are spirits in the physical world, my friends. Let me talk in 1981 first. That was when it first came out. When it first came out. So go. Solution. Revolution. Bloody revolution. We are spirits in the material world, our spirit. In the material world, our spirit. In the material world. Second verse. Our so-called leaders speak with words that try and jail you. They subjugate the meek. But it is the rhetoric of failure. We are spirit in the material world, our spirit. In the material world, our spirit. In the material world, our spirit. In the material world, third verse. Where does the answer lie? Living from day to day. Then we can buy. There must be another way. Our spirit in the material world. And it goes on. Anyway, isn't that cool? That's a cool song, isn't it? So like I was saying, our mother and father God, they're huge spirits. They're growing. It's all about growth. When you get to heaven, you'll see all these millions of spirits. people that lived on Earth at one time in our past throughout the centuries. There is no religion in heaven. Everyone's praising the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe for the miracles of all creation, basically put, you know? When you think about it, how did all this happen from nothing? Something came out of nothing, right? And that's worthy of praise, my friend. So our Mother and Father God, they were like us at one time, going through that process of reincarnation, incarnating on planets throughout the universe, maybe just here in the Milky Way galaxy, other galaxies, I don't know, until they reached that level of perfection where they would know, have a knowledge of how the universe works, the cosmic forces and powers that are were put into place by the Supreme Creator that we can utilize with the knowledge of those powers to create whatever, to create suns and planets and moons, to create animal and plant life, to create sentient beings. Yes, it's true. You'll see. When we transition to the afterlife in heaven, and it's a very deep place, as I mentioned, people there shine with a beautiful light. Here, growth is what we seek, right? We want to be stronger. We want to be smarter in all we do, right? Acquire intelligence, right? And each day, we don't want to stay complacent. We want to continue to grow and increase our intellect. And how do we do that? Various different methods, but also we want to enhance our spirituality, to develop ourselves spiritually. And by doing that, we are increasing the lamp of our soul. And I've said this before in other radio shows. So what does that mean, my friends? And I've said this as well before. I don't mind saying it again. I'll say it even further on down into the future on other radio shows. Souls shine with light, depending on the level of your evolution. When you get to heaven, you'll see people walking around, some with brighter, shining lights than others. Like, for example, Jesus, who died on the cross, will come up to you in heaven, and you'll see that he shines so brightly, very brightly. To be in his presence is a humbling experience. His light, and also the Mother and Father God's light, brilliance that just washes over you. It's glory. It's hard to look at. It's like looking into the sun with your physical eyes. It's almost impossible. You can damage your physical eyes by trying to do that. Unless you are sufficiently developed spiritually, you won't be able to stay in the presence for very long. But the good news is there are a lot of ways to increase your soul's light, even in heaven. Eating of the fruit from the tree of life. There's learning going on all the time, having all kinds of activities. So, just having conversations with people that are enlightened people, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, very enlightened people that lived here on Earth at one time or another, Einstein, if they haven't reincarnated already. But I think, you know, because in the big scheme of things, there is no time in heaven, so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they say that one day on, or 1,000 days here on, or 1,000 years here on Earth are like one day in heaven. And I believe we're all in this together, and reincarnating on another planet is an option that you have when you get to heaven. And you can research it very well. There's heavenly computers you can access to see what's available around the universe and other galaxies or this galaxy that would suit your needs as far as evolving your soul, what you need to erase possibly any karmic debt. And I believe that a lot of people, most people that lived here on Earth at one time or another in our past, from all cultures, all races, all ethnicities, are waiting for a great reunion for me and other people, you, to get back to heaven and celebrate some incredible growth that we achieved here on planet Earth that will increase the light of the Supreme Creator. And that was the plan, like I mentioned, growth. The growth that we experience, the growth that we achieve, is ultimately assimilated into the ocean of the great Creator's spirit, like a drop of water into that ocean. And we are just, you could say we're children or grandchildren, if you will, of the Creator of the universe. Don't you know that Jesus taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, and he should have said, Our Father and Our Mother who art in heaven, because you can't have children without a mother and a father, right? You know how a father would create any children? Why would it be different than what we do here on Earth? Logically, you do need a male and a female to create anything. And that's true, not only with children, but also when you're talking about suns or planets or moons or spirit children, you need a mother and a father. There is no fantasy process that some people are not even familiar with, don't even give it a second thought as to how it's done. No, there is a process, and it involves a universe of males and females, the alpha, the omega, the negative, the positive, the yin and the yang. And that's one key here on planet Earth. I see it in the churches, only talking about a Father God. You know, I voted for Mr. Trump. I don't mind saying so. It's a long story. I'll tell you a little bit in a nutshell why I did, because I think that even from the beginning, when he was elected to be president in 2016, and I voted for Hillary, I'm not ashamed to say. I voted for Mr. Trump in 2020, and I voted for him this time, too. Right from the very beginning, they said that they were going to try to impeach him. His first day in office in 2016, or was it 2017? January the 20th, 2017. I'm going to take a drink. But the vindictiveness, the meanness, the unkindness is really prevalent on both sides, in both parties, you know. That's the way it is. The competition is so fierce. Another reason why I voted for Mr. Trump, and just let me finish that thought. I think they've treated him very badly, all these false accusations. They just don't want him to be president again because it's competition, really. I don't think they object. If you really want to know their hearts, they don't object to who he is, what he's done. And he did some good things when he was president. I think no one can deny that. And that's one fault I see in a lot of people, especially on the news, say one good thing about him or other people. And you know that's wrong. You got to be able to do that, my friends. You got to be able to see the good. It's like, say you're watching a football game between two teams, right? And you like one team over the other one. And you say, your team scores a touchdown. Yeah, all right. Make a good pass or a good run. Yeah, all right. Go, baby, go. Now, the other team, you don't say that same kind of and you don't want them to win. You want your team to win. But I submit to you, try something different, like what I've been doing. Recognize a good play when you see one, even if it's on the other team. Give credit when due. don't choose one team over another. Don't you know what it's like to lose, how bad that feels? Yes, you know what it's like to win, but you can kind of nullify that feeling that you're ultimately, when your team wins and the other team loses, and you could have been a little bit more fair, let's say, to the other side and praise some of the good plays that they made. It's not like what you say and what you do is going to change anything. It might. I don't know. That's a possibility in the big scheme of things. You watch a sports game, say a football game or a basketball game, maybe if you didn't watch it, maybe your team would have won, or maybe they would have lost. It's a pretty complicated, complex idea to say that when we watch something, and there was a German scientist one time, I think Eisenberg said, the Eisenberg theory principle, it's about particles in motion and not being able to judge the acceleration and the movement of a particle both at the same time or something like that. But another thing he said, and remember this, that when you look at something, you actually change the molecules of whatever it is you're looking at. That's why some people that we've seen before in our past have been able to bend spoons, and you know, you've heard of telekinesis and move things with their mind. I was watching my cat. We have a beautiful white cat that was in the backyard recently, and she was just on the other side of the railing, and I looked over the edge looking at her, and she was looking off away behind the backyard, and so she didn't see me looking at her, but I could tell when I fixed my eye on her, she knew, she had that feeling that someone is looking at her, and she was looking around, you know, shaking her head. And sometimes then I've done that before, and she'll look at me and like, oh, okay, you're looking at me. And what does that tell you? Kind of like what I just said about the Eisenberg principle, but it's not that. Eisenberg, I believe, said it. I read it, that if you look at something, you can, or you do change its molecule. That's why when we look at people, also the same thing. You ever had that feeling when someone's looking at you and you turn around, sure enough, someone's looking at you? That's an amazing thing. It's almost like the creator of the universe is experiencing us through our eyes. What we look at, the creator can also look at. Did you know that babies in our mother's wombs can actually look through their mother's eyes? Did you know that? Where did I learn that, you ask? From a book called, I'm trying to remember the book, The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. Check it out, since you asked, you better read it. The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. That's an amazing book. He had an incredible experience. According to him, we are all spirits that existed before we were born here on Earth, that there is a pre-existence. Some of us are younger. It's kind of like heaven, I guess you could say. He didn't know too much. He wrote the book based on what he remembered. And that's the thing. We can't remember our pre-existence. We can't remember our past lives because we were made to forget. When we were born into this world, we passed through what is known as the River of Oblivion. We were made to forget because this kind of environment is very environment. The level of spirituality that we learn is greatly enhanced, so to speak. This is a very difficult school of learning here. So give yourself a pat on the back for coming here, because it is very tough. It's one of the toughest planets in the universe. Can you take that from me? I mean it. And there's a million and one ways to die for Mother Nature alone, not to mention all the man-made stuff like on the freeways in a car accident or an airplane accident or a boat accident or getting shot or stabbed or strangled, you know, there's that weighs heavily on our psyche. But don't forget, we are spirits in the material world. We're having an experience. Our physical bodies are experiencing this. They're kind of like a coat that we put on and take off, you know. An amazing creation. Don't get me wrong. The human body is an absolutely awesome, incredible creation which we should revere. We should just be... independently of our wills and how our lungs purify the air we breathe through, to purify the blood, and our central nervous system works so that if you put your hand on a stove, a hot stove, the reflexes will be such from the central nervous system that you pull it away right away fast so you won't burn yourself. This, as it says in the Bible, this human body is wonderfully and fearfully made. Don't abuse that, my friend. Know that it is. You are the captain of the boat. I remember that song by Grand Funk Railroad, Closer to Home. You ever listen to that song? Everybody, listen to me and return me my ship. I'm your captain. I'm your captain, though I'm feeling it's been months now, days uncounted, I think it goes on, I forget the words because I haven't been practicing it, but it has a correlation in there, in the song, about what it's like to be possibly in the womb of our mothers as a baby, and wanting to be incarnated, to be born on planet Earth so that our souls and our spirits can have that experience, that opportunity to be here and learn, even though it is a very difficult learning environment, as I mentioned, but I believe there's probably a waiting line, a list, to come here on Earth, as hard as it is, because it has so much many benefits to reap. It's amazing. And if a baby is aborted, it just goes back to heaven. It could be a young spirit. It could be an old spirit, an old soul, young soul. In the book and the movie Heaven is for Real, the young boy who had a near-death experience was 3 years old, and he saw his sister that had been miscarried by his mother. She came up to him in their mother's tummy. It's the same with aborted children too. They go to heaven, I guarantee you. I tell you the truth. They do. However, they could be, if they're young souls, then they'll have to grow up in heaven. If they're older souls and they just revert back to that age 30 mold and continue their spiritual development there in heaven, and possibly, not everyone does from what I've heard, but possibly later the universe, after getting with their guides and the elders and other people, even Jesus who died on the cross, all these people that are there to help and determine what maybe. You could be born on the planet somewhere out there in the Milky Way galaxy that resembles what Earth did 2,000 years ago, and they're looking for a savior. I'm not kidding. There are planets out there that are like that at different stages of evolution. And I know I'd be willing to bet and guess that there are some like what Earth was here 2,000 years ago, or maybe even 5,000 years ago in Moses. But the Hebrews out of Egypt on that journey, and all the miracles that he performed, were done in coordination with an extraterrestrial race called the Thiaubans, people from the planet Thiaub. It is a planet in our Milky Way galaxy, one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. These are hermaphrodite extraterrestrials, about 9 feet tall, that have throughout the universe. And spacecraft. And they are the guardians of our planet. And that's the way it is throughout the universe, my friends. We're all in this together, and people, the other ETs that are out there, help every once in a while. The food on a silver platter, so to speak. But they can help out in many different ways, like parting the Red Sea. All the miracles that Jesus performed were done in coordination with these extraterrestrials from their spacecraft up above, out of sight behind the clouds. Yes, unless you think, I'm going to take a drink. That those miracles that Jesus performed were done in some way that you don't know how, that you never really thought about. And when you do think about things like that, my friend, that's when you take the next step in your evolution. You want to know more details. How, say, for example, did Jesus raise Lazarus? They say some of these miracles. Oh, I'm being distracted here. They cool like a designer desk so that it would last for a long time afterwards. People won't believe things unless they see miracles. You know that, right? Back then, it was necessary to perform. I think we're here today thanks to all the miracles that he's performed. Thanks to Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. But the reason he came in the first place was because the state of affairs here on planet Earth back then was very bad. There was a lot of evil and sexual immorality going on. The time was ripe for. And isn't it true? Now we see those miracles that Jesus performed. And that's one. And also the resurrection, of course. Let me offer a perspective here that I, like I mentioned, your death or Lazarus to impress the people, to convince them. Our Father who art in heaven. But back then, for the purposes of the people to believe, they needed someone who was going to be the Messiah or so-called the Son of God. So they had to create all these miracles. One, raising a Lazarus. They knew they had, and these extraterrestrials are so far advanced. Kind of like, you know the movie Avatar? How they can flip their spirits, their astral bodies into the blue bodies and walk around and function normally. These ETs can do the same with a human body, and they make the human body just like an Avatar. They made the blue bodies, right? You understand what I'm saying? So enter Jesus, age 33. It's a long story. The Jesus that was born in Bethlehem was a different Jesus because he had to be born through the river of oblivion. If you want to read more about it, I'm going to finish my story, but you can read the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. There's a whole chapter dedicated to who was Christ. And you can read what I'm telling you about right now and more. Satisfy that curiosity of yours, my friends. Sounds like you are curious, if I'm not mistaken, but there's a lot of designer deaths that happen in this world back then and now even. Donna Rebido, she drowned. Her video is on YouTube. She met the creator of the universe. Check that out. Anyway, so let's say Lazarus, they're going to choose him because Jesus loved him very much. He was getting sick. They knew that he would get sick. But Jesus didn't heal him, although he could have, right? Because he wanted him to die or look like he was dead. And you have to understand that these ETs have technology that is beyond our understanding. But we do understand some technology where they can beam down in a That's for real. I'm telling you the truth, my friend. So let's say fictitiously, and it's a very unique, special kind of chemical that keeps the heart beating, but it looks as though he's dead. So that people back then didn't know any different. You know, they know what a dead person looked like. You know, they didn't have much medical technology back then. So Lazarus looks like he's dead, although his heart's still beating. There's still that faint glimmer of life in his body. But they put him in the tomb because they think he's dead. Of course, the ETs, they want him, you know, make this appear like it's for real. So they wait 4 days. They beam into the tomb under the cover of night. Well, it wouldn't make a difference anyway, even if it was in the daytime. And they've got another drug, another chemical, which they administer to him, which would revive the heart and the life in his body. They roll the stone away. Jesus, of course, is in complete coordination with these ETs. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Next thing you know, Lazarus comes forth. People are blown away, awestruck. Can you imagine their faces when they saw that? And Jesus, he must have been laughing to himself like, if you only knew how I did it. But it would be hard to handle. Just imagine the way people would look at you after that. Wow, this guy can raise people from the dead. They didn't really understand. I mean, they had no inkling of knowledge about life elsewhere in the universe back then. They thought the world was flat up until about 1492. They thought that the world was the center of the universe until about 15-something when Copernicus proved that it wasn't. Hey, what you doing? Our dog has come out here to join me, and he's scratching his ear and whining because he's hurting himself with his toenails. How am I doing on time? I've only got a couple of minutes left, my friend. So all those miracles, he's gone back again. Hold on just a second. And him dying on the cross for my sins, because we don't really need a medium. We have a relationship with our mother and father and the creator of the universe, Jesus, who died on the cross, and you'll see him when you get there, is another co-creator God in the making, just like you and I are. Although he's achieved that extremely high level of evolution, he's ready to be a co-creator God on his own with his soulmate. And that's how you create with your soulmate. It's called emerging of spirit and a synchronization of thoughts and words, speaking those words, moving those cosmic forces into action with a knowledge of what you're doing. And how do you gain that knowledge? Through all the lives that you've lived on different planets throughout the universe, erasing that karmic debt. All that spirituality that you've developed. And that's why we're here on Earth, is to develop ourselves spiritually. No other reason, my friends. I mean, working our jobs, making money, raising our children. That's kind of like secondary. Yet we put that above everything else because money is what makes the world, this world go around. Unfortunately, it's true because in order to survive, we need money. My point is there really doesn't have to be a monetary system. There have been some civilizations here on planet Earth in the past, like Atlantis and Lemuria or Mu in the Pacific Ocean, Atlantis and the Atlantic Ocean, just to name a couple, that didn't have a monetary system, and anything you wanted was available, whether it was meat or vegetables or flowers. Anything was available for you to take. Of course, I think they expected you to give also, you know, it's kind of like a sharing, if you will. And the people loved each other. There was no poor. There were no rich. They loved each other. They adored each other. They respected each other. Everybody has life. We are alive, my friends. I'm alive, too. We are alive. Our love is alive. And tomorrow, people are dead in the world. You want to be an old, ripe old age. And I think you do, too, because we can learn so much. I think we've been making a lot of good people. I saw there's a billionaire who lives in China. I forget his name. He's got an organization called Alibaba. He's worth like $230 billion, and he gives a lot of money to charities, and that's a good thing. And the more we look after our fellow human beings, helping the homeless on the streets, feeding the children that don't have enough to eat, that will be better for our soul, our children. The more you share what you have, it will be better for us or you. The more we share, the better it is for us. Taking a drink. Well, my friends, I'm going to say a prayer to the creator of the universe. As I mentioned, watch that video by Donna Rebadow, R-E-B-A-D-O-W, on YouTube. The name of the people that create those videos are Coming Home. Coming Home. She died. That was a designer death. She drowned. Everything that happened to her. An amazing sequence of events. I've got 1 minute, so just pray. The creator of the universe will answer your prayer. Creator of the universe, I know you're out there. You are omnipotent and you are omniscient. You know everything. You are like the aurora borealis. You are a being, an electrical being inside a force field so large it's difficult to comprehend because this whole universe is yours. I ask, please, that you are blessed. All of your children, all of us here on planet Earth, and help us to grow and self-searchly and to live in peace for the sake of our children. We know that's very important. Thank you for everything. We love you. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.